Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this is the kickoff of National Lutheran Schools Week, and always an exciting time to be the church. The theme for this year is Sent to Serve. You saw it in the announcements, the kind of title here of the sermon, Sent by Jesus to Serve. And I'm going to talk a bit about Jonah this morning. Jonah, who in this sense, I'm going to say, ultimately is the opposite of Jesus. God uses him, but Jonah is an unwilling and really disobedient servant. But we'll get to that in a minute. I got to see. Okay. Is this a video? We'll see. It is. Okay. Well, let me back it up. All right. So it's National Lutheran Schools Week, and one of the things that our students here at St. John, and I'm talking about kindergarten to eighth grade, preschool, even Little Wings, we're blessed to have this ministry for all ages, but here at St. John, 168 years of parochial education, with Jesus at the center, the one who came to seek and save the lost, Jesus himself, who said he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, and there are many things for which to be thankful. So here is a brief compilation of what some of our students have said they're thankful for here at St. John.
We get to learn some of these things like
math,
science,
English,
history,
because of chapel.
Nice teachers and great friends.
We have great school lunches.
I like going to St. John because I'm with my friends.
Because I get to meet new friends.
I love going to St. John because we have people next to us and they can help us.
I love St. John because there are super good brownies.
We get to learn about Jesus.
All good answers. The best answer at the end, it's all about Jesus, but whether it is lunch and the wonderful brownies that go with them, whether it is time with friends or gathering in this space for chapel, ultimately we're blessed that Christ holds us together, that he is the servant. We don't want to watch that video. Did you advance that for me? Okay, thanks. So as we're thinking about National Lutheran Schools Week and children, we're all children of God. And one of the stories that probably many of us learned, and many even non-Christians would know this story, is the story of Jonah. And here is the cover from our Concordia Publishing House Arch book, Jonah, the Runaway Prophet. But maybe some of us remember Jonah and we think of Jonah and the whale or Jonah and the fish. In fact, I learned a song at a camp that went, Whale did swallow Jojo Jojo. Whale did. And I don't remember the rest of it, but I know that part. Some of you know it. But it really wasn't necessarily even, if we want to be technical, a whale. It was a fish. A whale is a mammal. Did you know that, Tina? Did you learn that here at St. John? No, before that. No, it's good. So Jonah and the whale. And here, though, we're used to hearing only a portion of the story. Well, in fact, this is an NIV translation. This is the story of Jonah, facing pages, four chapters, all right here. Pretty short, sweet, succinct. And many of us probably remember chapter one, that Jonah is supposed to go. See, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, and he says, go to Nineveh. And Jonah says, no, I'm going to go to Tarshish. I'm going to go the other way. And he gets on a boat, and it doesn't go well. The storm comes up, and they eventually throw Jonah out of the boat. But God has mercy on him, and he swallows him up with a big fish. And there, Jonah has he essentially thinks he's in the pit of hell, or Sheol, as he says. He prays out to God that God would save him, and God does save him. And at the end of his prayer in the belly of the fish, Jonah says, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. It's a beautiful song from the belly of a fish. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord, and the Lord commanded the fish. And then this is, whether it's the ESV or the NIV, literal translation, it says that the fish vomited Jonah up onto the dragon. You like that word vomit? I don't. Just even saying it. But there it is. Here's an artist's depiction. That's definitely not a whale. Vomits Jonah up onto the dry ground, and Jonah, well, that's not the end of the story. That's only half of the story. That's the end of chapter 2. We started, Pastor Luke read it this morning, with chapter 3, verse 1, and it is, well, we're kind of going to get some more Paul Harvey, the rest of the story, in two parts here. Jonah 3, verse 1, so we get the same pattern that happened in chapter 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, and maybe Jonah is going to listen more clearly this time, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. And you can see an artist's depiction here of the wonderful city of Nineveh, the city of the Assyrians. The Assyrians were a ruling power, and Jonah is supposed to go into Nineveh. And so Jonah arose, and this time he went to Nineveh, because last time didn't go so well with the fish, according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. And for the time, it's a huge city. And Jonah goes into the city, and he began going out, going a day's journey. He called out, and this is the only thing that Jonah said to the Ninevites. One sentence. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. In the Hebrew, I think it's Nineveh shall be changed. And I wonder if Jonah even said it that loud. Yet 40 days, Nineveh shall be changed. I hope none of you heard me. Because I don't think Jonah wanted the Ninevites to hear God's word. God chose Jonah to deliver the message. And Jonah was an unwilling messenger, even after being swallowed up by a fish and being vomited back up onto the land. But he goes anyway, and he cannot fight his own nature. And the word of God is forced out of him. And he says, Nineveh will be changed. And you begin to see this artist's depiction here in this painting, from the greatest to the least of them. They repented. They put on sackcloth and ashes, and the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. Their hearts are changed. They're changed from the inside out, just from this one sentence that God's unwilling messenger delivered to them. And we get in verse 10, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. It's not that God changed his mind. God was already slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, but they heard, even from this unwilling messenger, Jonah, this message. Listen up, stop doing what you're doing, turn toward me, and they are cut to the heart, and they go from stone cold dead hearts to living beating hearts. And so that was part one of the rest of the story, and here's part two, chapter 4 of Jonah. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. You think about that. Here is the messenger of God who's called to bring God's message, and he's a God of who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And here is Jonah, who is quick to anger. And why is he angry? He's angry because the word of God actually does what it is supposed to do, and he can hardly believe it. Doesn't sound anything like the faithful, suffering servant who would later follow. The obedient one. And he prayed, Jonah prayed to the Lord and said, Oh Lord, is not this what I said? Isn't this what I said when I was yet in my own country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish in the first place. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. I know that's who you are, God. And the truth is, it's anything but who Jonah is. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, For it's better for me to die than to live. There are other prophets who are considered heroes of the faith, but I'm going to say to you today, I don't think Jonah is any hero. The opposite of a hero. It's Elijah who would go and he would take on the prophets of Baal, and God would rain down thunder and judgment and fire. And Elijah, who had seen the great things, but also the depths of depths, he would call out to God to take his life, but he had actually seen something. But Jonah, well, all he had done so far is be disobedient, be swallowed up by a fish, get vomited up on the shore, walk into Nineveh unwillingly and say, "You have 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And your hearts will be changed. I hope you didn't hear me." And now he's saying, "Yeah, and it's all I can do, God. Just kill me now." And so here is a depiction of Jonah looking out over Nineveh. It says a city of 120,000 people, a huge city for the time, looking out over 120,000 souls, people whom God created, people that God had protected and provided for, even out of their ignorance, and that they didn't even acknowledge who he was. And yet Jonah is up there and he is contemplating and he is angry and he just wants to die. Here's a little bit more of the story. But God replies to Jonah as he sits there, "Have you any right to be angry, Jonah?" And Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city, and then he made himself a shelter, and he sat in the shade and waited to see what would happen to the city. And then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. But guess what Jonah's reaction? Well, Jonah was happy about the vine. "Well, that's nice. At least I don't have to be in the sun." You know, and he's sitting there and he's waiting, and I think he's hoping against hope that maybe still God would bring the pain, would bring the noise, would bring the thunder, would bring the wrath, would bring the fire. He wants to see them get what they deserve. "They made their bed, now let them lie in it, God, and I want to watch." And so God gives him the vine, and maybe he just for a moment thinks, "This is okay." But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you have any right to be angry about the vine?" "I do," Jonah said. "I'm angry enough to die." But the Lord said, "You've been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? Thus says the Lord." That's the end of the story. Yay, Jonah. Yay, Nineveh. Yay, God. You know, as I've meditated on this and preached on this now one time, a second time today, I'll tell you, I don't know if I identify more with Jonah or the Ninevites. I think more and more it's Jonah. I know that I'm not God, and I know that you're not God, so we're not going to have to sort that out. But Jonah and the Ninevites, really, none of them are heroes of the story. But as Jonah sat there and stewed and wrestled, I wonder, is Jonah afraid that God is who he says he is? That he is a God who is merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, that he is a God who is compassionate, who doesn't give people what they deserve, and it upsets him? That it's true? That that's who God is? Is Jonah afraid that he himself is who God says he is? That he is a prophet who's supposed to be the one who brings compassion and mercy, and instead all he wants to bring is the noise and the thunder and the wrath and the pain? Jonah knows, but he wishes it wasn't true, that God's word actually does change people from the inside out. Yet Jonah himself doesn't seem to want to be changed. "Well, I'll go, but no, I don't want to go. I'll say it, but I don't really want to say it." Because it might actually do something. And it would do what God wants done, not what Jonah wants done. Is Jonah afraid that the Ninevites are who God says they are? That they actually are his creatures? And that he is going to tend to them and provide for them even though they don't deserve it? See, I think as Jonah was up there, he struggled and wrestled, that his issue is that he wants to be the judge, that he wants to be the jury, that he wants to be the executioner. He wanted to bring a message, but it was a message of, the time is coming, you're done, and now I'll just watch. You, Nineveh, are canceled. But instead, he sits and watched as people's hearts were changed, as God's word that was delivered to them and caused them to repent, to turn to God. We have the parallel gospel lesson for today that is appointed for this Sunday from Mark chapter 1, 14 to 20, where Jesus, just after his baptism, just after Jesus is plunged into the waters of the Jordan River and all the sins of the world are plunged into him, even those sins of the Ninevites, and I'll say even those sins of Jonah, those sins of you and I are plunged, of you and me, of my sins, are plunged into Jesus. And Jesus then comes, and the first words of his public ministry are, the time is fulfilled, the reign or kingdom of heaven is at hand, repent and believe the good news. The thing for Jonah, though, is he's miserable. And maybe at his worst, he sits there and he says, I don't want the Ninevites to be changed, God. I don't want them to be who you say they are. I want to watch them suffer and burn. And maybe if it was me, I can relate to Jonah. He sits there and he scrolls through his Twitter feed. He watches the live updates on Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or OANN or reads the latest New York Times editorial, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal editorial, just waiting to get that dopamine hit of, yes, I know I disagree with that person, or that dopamine hit that comes with, I exactly agree with that person, and we're all ready to take up arms and watch it all and burn it down. Instead of trusting that God is who he says he is, that we are who he says we are, and that other people, as we see ourselves in him, are who he says they are. That in the end, it's not you reap what you sow or you get what you deserve, but God comes and he absorbs and takes it into himself. Jonah is, at least from what we get in the story here, the opposite of Jesus, I think. Jesus, the one who is obedient, who is sent to serve. Jesus, who is the proof that God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, relenting from disaster, that God himself would come and make all things new. That the Father would send his Son. That God the Father loves the world in this way, that he sends his Son. The one who came not only to deliver the Word of God, but he is the Word of God. I know over the summer we had this painting from Salvador Dali. It's Christ of St. John of the Cross. And as you think about Jonah, who's sitting up here and he's looking over Nineveh, just waiting for it to burn, and it's not what happens. Notice that here is Jesus, and he is looking over the whole world in love and mercy. Your sin and mine plunged into him. Not only that, the sin of the Ninevites. There is a Nineveh, Indiana, just south of here, so some of you may live in Nineveh, so your sin too. That he hangs there in love and mercy. that he did not come to bring the pain or the wrath of God, but he came to bring the love of God. He didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And he demonstrates this. He demonstrates this that, as he said, and this is our theme verse for this year, sent to serve at St. John Lutheran School and in our ministries, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And he is not stingy. God the Father is not stingy, dispensing grace only a thimbleful at a time for those who have merited just a drop, but a deluge, a waterfall of grace. And the proof of that, well, it's at the cross. That in the end, we know that sin go and death and the power of the devil goes to the cross to die, into Christ Jesus to die. Jesus, who is the opposite of Jonah. Jesus, the one who came to deliver the word, but is the word. Jesus, who is present among us, the proof of God the Father's love, the willing servant. That we know that God is who he says he is. And baptized into Christ Jesus, you are who he says you are. And now, known and loved by God in and through Christ Jesus, we see and look at the world. Those that were sent to serve, you're free. Not to glare and wait for them to be canceled or wait for our side to win or regain power and then in vindictive, snarling triumph to silence all the critics or shut down their servers. But to share, to love because we have first been loved. God the Father sends his Son to seek and serve the lost. You have been found. And now share the good news with others. So we sang in our sermon hymn, Son of God, Eternal Savior, Source of life and truth and grace, Word made flesh, whose birth among us hallows all our human race. You are head, who, throned in glory, for your own will ever plead. Fill us with your love and pity, heal our wrongs, and help our need. And that's at the center of all that we do here at St. John. As we rejoice in this National Lutheran Schools Week 2021, well, it's all about Jesus, the one who came to seek and save the lost, who came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And whether it is an infant at Little Wings or someone who is in their 10th decade of life, I think you'd be 90 years old to be in your 10th decade of life, Jesus, or only your 9th decade, Jesus is your Savior. So whether you identify with the Ninevites or Jonah, well, I alternately identify with both, I'm thankful that we have a Savior who has identified and come in our midst, who leads us here at St. John. To Christ be the glory. Amen. And now may the peace that passes understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.